Hey everyone, and welcome to the Pinstripe Playoff Podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I'm Joe Auriemma, and with me is my Pinstriped weekly partner, Glenn Jean Grandy. Glenn, this is your first podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Welcome to the community.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here. Pinstriped Playoff Podcast. Try saying that five times fast.
A lot of P's going on there.
Yes, definitely. But obviously, the operative one is playoffs, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me, like I said.
Glenn, it's a pleasure having you on here. Another P word. And speaking of pleasure, the Yankees have moved on to the American League Championship Series after sweeping the Minnesota Twins. Really, they played phenomenally. I mean, yes, they did get some breaks, but they played smart, heady baseball, something that the Twins have been known for this season. I feel like the Yankees were the more disciplined team in the series, and boy, did they, Yankees break out in a big way and exercise some demons.
A-Rod. Six RBI in the series, the most he's ever had in one playoff series. He was an absolute one-man wrecking crew against the Twins. Now, there were a couple of things in the series that I really liked out of the Yankees, and you've already touched on one of them, Joe. The fact that, yes, the Yankees did get some breaks, but you know what? Good teams, even the best teams, sometimes need some breaks, and they just took advantage, basically, of the opportunities, or rather, they capitalized on how they were able to squelch some opportunities
right. When
Minnesota, you know, made its mistakes on the base paths. We saw Carlos Gomez at the stadium over on a base get thrown out. Nick Punto in the final game, overrunning third base, when he's clearly being held up, he gets thrown out. It was a one-run game at that point,
right.
Game 3 at the Metrodome. The Joe Mauer hit, obviously a bad call by the left field umpire Phil Cuzzi. Ball fell in Game 2.
That's human error, though.
It should have been a double.
Yes.
It was ruled foul. But these are the kind of breaks that a good team needs in order to go all the way.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you talk about the Nick Punto play, and, you know, Glenn, if anybody has any doubt about how smart Derek Jeter is as a player, I know I don't like to be one to continue to pat somebody on the back, but, man, he is so smart and such a good just field general out there. He is truly the Yankees captain. I mean, he's unbelievable.
His natural instincts are fantastic. Great heads-up play. Throwing home to cut down the runner, or to hold Punto. He fell down. He saw that he might have been attempting to go home. I think it was crazy on the part of Punto. Replays clearly showed that he was not picking up his third base coach. He took about 8 steps over third base before he tried to slow up and fell down. I think they got a little bit of a helpful bounce from the turf with the Jeter's throw home, bouncing right up to Posada at glove level. He threw a strike to third base, and they nailed him. It was a great play started by Jeter. I almost don't want to blame Punto in the first place because it did look like that ball was going up the middle. But in a situation like that, you're the runner. You've got to pick up your third base coach, and he didn't do it.
Glenn, you know, one thing that you harped on before the series and we talked about was how Joe Nathan really not that good against the Yankees, and boy, did he show it this series. I mean, we got a taste of Mariano Rivera and how good he still is. Mo on the mound for the first time to clinch a series since 2004. But really, Joe Nathan, it's got to be so disappointing that, you know, series after series, this guy just cannot bring it against the Yankees. He's decent against and decent to good against everybody else, but he just cannot do it against the Yankees.
I'm fascinated by the struggles that Nathan has had against the Yankees. He's an elite closer when it comes to the regular season. He is right up there. He's a notch below Mariano Rivera. I believe that there's Mo, and then there's everybody else. I put him right in that second tier. It's just
And
that
I still put him above Hoffman, too. That's how much I think of Joe Nathan. I would completely agree that there's Mo and everybody else, but I still think he's a better closer than Trevor Hoffman, who everybody kind of puts below Mo.
I think a lot of people would actually agree with you. I think you'd go with Joe Nathan, Jonathan Papelbon, Francisco Rodriguez. I think they'd be the solid second tier
right.
of closers, at least for now. Some other players may emerge. But you look at Nathan, a lifetime 4.50 ERA against the Yankees. That is his highest among American League opponents. It's amazing whether it comes to the regular season or to the postseason. The Yankees got to him in 2004. They get to him again in this series. He blows Game 2 at the stadium, giving up the game-tying home run to Alex Rodriguez after Mark Teixeira singled off him in the ninth inning. And then he gives up unearned runs, off his ledger at least, in Game 3. when Ron Gardenhire brought him into basically an impossible situation with the bases loaded and the Twins already trailing, you got to almost feel for the guy.
Yeah.
But it's the same to show you.
That, it's the same feeling I have for Ron Gardenhire, really, Glenn. You know, because you really feel bad for this guy. He just can. They're 0-10 against the Yankees this year. He can't beat them in a playoff series, and he just seems like he gets into the postseason, and he's such a smart manager. He can't beat the. He's another one. He can't beat the Yankees.
It's amazing. Like I said, I know I've been throwing that word a lot over the last. Last couple of minutes, but yeah, Gardenhire, he didn't push any wrong managerial buttons. He did the right things. Game one was out of hand. CC Sabathia just dominated Minnesota, and I think that speaks to the Twins' inability to hang with the Yankees' offense. Going into the series, another thing that we talked about on the ALDS preview of Pinstripe Weekly, we talked about how the Twins needed support from the batters behind Joe Mauer,
right.
Specifically Michael Kadir, Jason Kubel, and Delman Young. Now, Kadir, he pulled his weight a bit, but Kubel and Young both had dreadful series. The Twins' bats just couldn't keep up in Game 1. Game 2, they have a 2-run lead in the ninth inning with their closer on the mound. You should feel safe, but obviously it wasn't meant to be. And then in Game 3, the Yanks just blew it open late against that bullpen, despite a good performance from Carl Pavano. But you look at that game, and that was close all the way through. Minnesota just didn't have the offense to hang with the Yankees, although they did out-hit the Yankees. The Yanks only hitting about 225 for the series as a team.
All right, Glenn. Well, listen, we're going to come back here to the Pinstripe Playoff Podcast. We're going to continue to recap the Yankees-Twins series. We're also going to look ahead at the Angels-ALCS matchup with the Yankees. It's going to be interesting to see how the Yankees can go into that series, maybe exercising even more demons with a team that they've had struggles with in the postseason since 2002. Keep it right here, and we'll be right back. Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Here's Joe Auriemma.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Playoff Pinstripe Podcast. Pinstripe Playoff Podcast, whatever you want to call it.
P-cubed.
I'm Joe Auriemma, Glenn Jean Grandy with me. We just kind of touched on the Yankees-Twins series, but I want to talk more about this series, and I want to kind of go into the Angels series. One thing that really is impressive is Yankees starting pitching. I mean, that's what wins championships. You look at CC Sabathia's performance, unbelievable. A.J. Burnett, although he walked a lot of guys, he hit two batters, and he did have Jose Molina behind the plate. You can't really complain about A.J. Burnett's performance, and Andy Pettit comes, just proves why he's such a good playoff performer. The Yankees have a lot to be happy with their, top three pitchers, and they got to hope that it continues into the next series.
There's nothing negative to say about what Sabathia, Burnett, and Pettit did over the course of the Twins series. Now you look at the Angels' perspective, John Lackey and Jared Weaver, they had great starts in the DS versus Boston. Scott Kazmir, not so much, giving up 5 runs. So you'd have to give the edge to the Yankees, I think. But for the most part, these are two evenly matched teams. Bullpen edge I give to the Yankees also. The Angels, their bullpen ranked about 11th in the regular season among American League teams in ERA. So I think that's going to be a big storyline to watch. If the Yankees can somehow get past the pitchers like Lackey and Weaver, get them to throw a lot of pitches in the early innings, dig into
work
that bullpen.
Work counts like they normally do.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's their MO, patience, 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 another P word for you. Then I think the Yankees would have a huge advantage.
And it's funny you bring up that bullpen, because the Yankees did get to the bullpen, the Angels bullpen this season. Guys like Arredondo and Fuentes putting guys on base, and the Yankees kind of hit those guys around a little bit this season. And you have to give the bullpen edge to the Yankees. I think they're light years ahead of the Angels. It looks like Jabba Chamberlain is there to stay. Maybe not for next season, but at least for this postseason run, Jabba Chamberlain will not be starting any games. Looks like Girardi has made that clear, and it looks like it's going to be Jabba into Hughes into Mo. That's going to be the bridge to Mariano. And Jabba, when he's out in the bullpen, he's just a different pitcher. He attacks hitters a different way. He attacks them. That's the difference. But Hughes looked a little bit shaky, but he got out of some situations. The Yankees have to be happy with, you know, what's going on in their bullpen right now.
Yeah, with the exception of Hughes, everyone did a really great job. Jabba looked fantastic coming out of the gate, throwing 95 miles an hour. A lot of people were wondering where the velocity was in his starts. He'd be at 91, 92 for most of them. But you, like you said, it's a different mentality. Hughes, he did struggle a bit, but David Robertson looked great getting out of that bases loaded jam in game two with nobody out. Phil Koch actually looked good. I think he makes some fans a little nervous given his propensity to allow the home run ball in the regular season. That hasn't been a problem yet. Damaso Marte, he had some problems, I think, that some fans may not want to see him in big situations as we go forward. He missed most of the year with arm problems. But for the most part, the bullpen, a big strong point.
Now, speaking of the bullpen, Glenn, there are a lot of people that are saying that the Yankees can actually go into the ALCS and not have a fourth starter. Because what's happening is you can start CC Sabathia in game one, and then you have Burnett and Pettit in game two and three. Now, you can bring Sabathia back for game four because he would just be on short rest, one day short rest. Then in game five and six, Burnett and Pettit would be on normal rest. And if you come back to a game seven, Sabathia, with the way the ALCS is spread out, would actually be on normal rest. So the only pitcher that would have to come back on short rest would be Sabathia in game four. So that could be a way Girardi is leading, and that could say, well, a guy like Chad Godin, we'll just leave him out in the bullpen.
That would be a smart move. You look at what CC Sabathia did last season, pitching on 3 days rest multiple times down the stretch when he got the Milwaukee Brewers into the playoffs. The Yankees, they didn't want to do that this year. They had the luxury of the huge lead in the AL East.
Right.
So they didn't have to. So I would see no problem with it if Girardi wanted to have Sabathia make one start on short rest.
On short rest.
He's barely made any this year like that.
Exactly. And, you know, that's got to be, you know, that's got to be making Yankee fans say, look, we're putting our best three pitchers out there. This is what we've ridden into the playoffs. This is what we rode through the ALDS with our three best guys, and we're going to continue to ride our horses and, you know, not hedge our bets and hope that Chad Godin has a good start in game four. He could make the decision on who he goes with in the game four starter as the series goes on, just to see how the series with the Angels is going.
It's the playoffs. I say if you're going to go out there, get beat by your best if it's going to happen. I don't think Girardi would want to have any regrets if a game four situation came down and he did throw Godin and something bad happened, and maybe he might say to himself, oh, what if I did let CC go on short rest? I think it's a legitimate option, and if Girardi did it, I would have no problem with that, and I don't think a lot of fans would either, because as solid as Chad Godin has been for the Yankees since they got him from San Diego, I think most of them would agree that even a Sabathia on short rest would trump Godin on normal rest.
Now, Glenn, I just want to, you know, kind of hit the lineup real quick. Guys like A-Rod, you know, he has this big postseason slump. He just was phenomenal. Mark Teixeira didn't have a great series, but he had, you know, the frozen rope down the right field line before A-Rod hits his home run in game two. And then he walks off with the big solo home run down the left field line. Just an absolute laser. The fastest home run to leave any park in the majors this year. 2.88 seconds it took to get off his bat and over the wall, which is amazing. But some other guys, you know, you knew what you were going to get out of Jeter. You knew what you were going to get out of Posada. But Johnny Damon struggling. He's been struggling since the beginning of September. Robinson Cano didn't have the best series. What is your solution to some of these guys that need to break out of this funk and need to break out of it quick?
Well, you're talking about proven hitters, guys like Damon and Teixeira. They combined went 3 of 24 in the series. I know Teixeira did have the big hits. He made them count. But the Yankees, they need to make sure that they get their hitters in line, because this is a situation here. They're playing an Angel team that they've got guys like Abreu, Hunter, Guerrero. There really aren't any stretches in this lineup where you're going to go through, you know, a Matt Tolbert, a Nick Punto, or a Brendan Harris, back-to-back-to-back, or some situation like that. 1 through 9, the Angels can hit.
Right.
And the Yankees need all their hitters to step up. You talked about Robinson Cano. He struggled in the series also. Melky Cabrera, he also had some problems in the series. Alex Rodriguez was, and Derek Jeter, they were the two that really carried the load in the series. Jorge Posada also. But it's important that the Yankees have their entire lineup hitting on all cylinders in this series, just because The Angels, they're a team that has the firepower to hang with the Yankees. And if the Yankee bats go into a slump for one game or two games, they can capitalize on it. The Twins couldn't.
All right, well, we're going to keep it right there. We're going to come back for segment three here on the Pinstripe Playoff Podcast. Glenn, we're going to talk about, when we get back, that Angels team that you were just, you know, speaking of, and we're going to preview the series. So keep it right here at YesNetwork.com. Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Here's Joe Auriemma.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Pinstripe Playoff Podcast. I'm Joe Auriemma. With me, as always, is Glenn Jean Grandy. Glenn, let's talk about the Angels right now. The Angels sweep the Red Sox. The Yankees sweep the Twins. These are two of the best teams in the American League. I really feel that the two best teams that were in the playoffs on the American League side are actually playing each other this year. Sometimes we don't get that because of that short five-game series. The Yankees have not beaten the Angels in the postseason. However, this is the first time they're seeing them in a seven-game series.
Yes, the 2002 DS, the Yankees, the fault of the Angels. They fell again in 2005. The teams are vastly different. There are a few elements that are still similar from the 05 and 09 Angels teams. First one, let's start at the top of the order, is Sean Figgins. Now, his postseason numbers are not great. However, he has caused much consternation to Yankee fans through the years. Figgins struggled in the DS against the Red Sox. He was 0-for-12. Six strikeouts. That, I believe, is a huge key to this series, that the Yankees can keep him off the bases and prevent him from causing some issues, you know, running, making Jorge Posada and Jose Molina pay attention to him on the bases. Then I think the Yankees, they've got a good chance. They've already won a significant battle in the series. The Twins had a guy like that in Denard Span. They really couldn't capitalize.
Right.
But the batters who were directly behind Figgins in the order, guys like Abreu, Hunter, Guerrero, they've got a lot more firepower. So I think that is issue number one for the Yankees. Keep Figgins off the bases.
You know, it's funny because during the season, Jorge Posada actually has a lot of success in throwing runners out. 70% of the runners that tried to steal on him this year were safe. But, I mean, that's a pretty good ratio. I mean, 30% of the guys that have tried to steal on Posada, he threw out. You look at the Angels, though, in the five games that Jorge Posada was behind the plate, the Angels did run all over him, and Figgins was the guy that just created so much havoc on the base paths. And you bring up that point. It's such a good point to bring up, because behind Figgins in that lineup is just a bevy of good hitters.
They've really done a great job assembling a team that is built for the long haul. Bobby Abreu, they signed him to the $5 million contract in this offseason. A huge bargain, tremendous asset in the clubhouse and in the lineup as well. Vlad Guerrero, he had a down season, but he is still a batter I fear. He can still rake big hits and go deep with the best of them. And Torii Hunter, he's been a great fit in that lineup. He had a great series against the Red Sox as well. But one key guy that I'm looking for, one person who may not draw the headlines that I think Yankee fans are going to need to watch out for as far as driving in runs and being a factor in that lineup, is Howie Kendrick. Consistently in his career, his numbers have been tremendous against the Yankees. He struggled early this year, actually got sent to the minors for a while, came back, looked like his old self at second base. I think he's a definite name under the radar a little bit, but someone to pay attention to.
And it's funny, you talk about getting, you know, guys for a bargain. Look, they were in the Mark Teixeira sweepstakes. They had him on their team last year, and at first base, Morales has just been unbelievable this year. Put up excellent numbers for the Angels, and they're really not paying him a lot of money.
Kendry Morales, you know, his fourth year as a member of the Angels, he's really exploded this year, and if I had a vote in the MVP race, I would give it to him, just because I don't think anybody expected the kind of production that Morales has given the Angels. When you're filling the shoes of a guy like Teixeira, and he did it on both the offensive and defensive ends of things.
Right.
And if you put their numbers head-to-head, they are strikingly similar. Morales will... I don't want to sell anyone short, but he doesn't have the name recognition. The award is, I would say, locked up pretty much going to Joe Mauer. There are other bigger names ahead of Morales, guys like Jeter, Teixeira, Miguel Cabrera from the Tigers, even though they fell short of the postseason. But Morales, for my money, was just as valuable to his team than any of those players were to theirs.
I want to just kind of touch on their starting pitching right now. Look, we know what Lackey's all about, but he's going to be going up against CC Sabathia, so that should be a heck of a pitcher's duel. But behind him, you know, Jared Weaver had a great game against the Red Sox in the ALDS. I don't know if he can consistently go out, even though he was over a 15-game winner this year, I don't know if he can go out and do that every time. Whereas, it's kind of like an A.J. Burnett situation. We don't know if A.J. Burnett is going to give the same performance, but we've also seen A.J. Burnett, you know, kind of hit his peaks and valleys this year, and right now he's at a peak. And when that happens, he kind of has good start after good start. I don't know what the Angels are going to get out of Weaver. Past that, it's Saunders and Kazmir. They have a very strong rotation. I still think the Yankees have the edge in that corner, though.
Oh, definitely. When you look at what the Yanks did all through the ALDS, the three starters, rolling Kazmir, he had his problems, like I said earlier in the podcast. I would definitely give the edge starting pitching-wise to the Yankees. They've got the two tough lefties. They've got Burnett. You look on the other side of the equation, and you've got Lackey. You've got Kazmir, who's a lefty the Yankees know. Right. I mean, they used to see him constantly when he was a member of the Rays. Joe Saunders, he's left-handed, but he's not an overpowering left-hander. Right. And that's a big factor to look at. He can't just blow away hitters. He's got to be fine. He's got to hit his spots. And those are the kind of pitchers that the Yankees can hit lefty or righty very well.
Right, and one guy that I didn't mention was Ervin Santana, who last year was an all-star, and this year just had an absolutely putrid year. Just a putrid year, and they put him in the bullpen.
He's been inconsistent. He's been great. He was great 2 years ago, and he was terrible last year. This year, it's amazing. I don't want to say amazing, but he's been very inconsistent. Earlier in his career, he had problems. His home road splits were very pronounced in opposite directions. He's kind of been an enigma for the Angels. A lot of Yankee fans will remember Santana for the clinching Game 5 and the 0-5 DS. Bartolo Colon leaves early. He comes in, shuts down the Yankees. Sometimes better to deal with the devil you know than the devil you don't. Right. Now we know what Santana is, and he probably will not be a major factor in this series.
Real quick, Glenn, one thing that you took from the Angels-Red Sox series that you said, my God, I know the Yankees are facing the Angels, you know, next series. This is something they need to look out for.
Don't sell Vlad Guerrero short. A situation came up in the top of the ninth inning, I believe, in Game 3, where Terry Francona made the decision to walk Torii Hunter to load the bases with the Angels down a run with Jonathan Papelbon on the mound to face Vlad Guerrero. Now, Hunter had great numbers against Papelbon, so I don't necessarily want to second-guess the numbers decision. It's kind of like what Joe Girardi did when he took out Andy Pettitte in Game 3 at the Metrodome rather than letting him face Delman
Young.
Because
of Delman Young.
Young was
right.
9-for-14 in his career against Pettitte. So walking Hunter to load the bases in theory is a sound idea, but Vlad Guerrero is one of the best hitters of this generation. He is not the guy that he was a few years ago before injury set in, but he can still rake. And what did he do? First pitch he saw from Jonathan Papelbon, smoked a two-run single up the middle, took the Angels from 6-5 down to 7-6 up, and that was the difference.
All right, Glenn, look, everybody loves a prediction. I want to get your prediction on this series.
I think the Yankees have the pitching. They've got the advantage there. The lineups are pretty similar. I would almost call it a push, even though I think that with Alex Rodriguez doing his damage, I think he kind of tips the scales in the Yankees' favor, especially when you look at his career numbers
against the Angels. Yeah.
But I just think the pitching advantage is too pronounced against the Yankees. Their bullpen right now is significantly better than the Angels' unit. The days of Donnelly and Shields being shut down guys and K-Rod shutting it down, those days are long gone. I like the Yankees in a hard-fought series. I like them in 6.
Glenn, you took the words right out of my mouth. I am also going to pick the Yankees in 6. I think the difference is not only are the Yankees playing the Angels with a much better bullpen that they've had to face in years, the Yankees' bullpen is light years ahead of the Angels' bullpen, but it's in a 7-game series instead of a 5-game series, which kind of swings the edge. Whatever push they might have had between the two teams, it kind of swings the edge back to the Yankees. So, Glenn, we both think that the Yankees are going to take care of the Angels in a hard-fought series in 6 games. I'll see how it comes out. But keep coming back to YesNetwork.com for all of your Yankees postseason needs. Glenn and I will be doing a Pinstripe Weekly. And like I said, it's YesNetwork.com is where it's at. So keep it locked here. But for Glenn Jean Grandy, I'm Joe Warima saying, we'll see you next time.